Sarah, we want to welcome you. Do you say your last name is a Peralt?
Yes, it is.
Sarah Peralt, she is the senior editor for the Old Farmer's Almanac. And can I tell you, this interview every year, I don't know if you and I have spoken before, but it's one of my favorites of all time. And I say that really sincerely. I think the Old Farmer's Almanac is just a fabulous publication. And I think it's so darn fun that you take the time to call in to us. How are things in your world?
That is so kind of you to say.
Oh, I mean it, Sarah. It's so fun. Sarah, are you still in Dublin, New Hampshire?
Yes, we are. It's the southwest corner of New Hampshire. We're not very far from the Massachusetts border.
Nice. Sarah, here's my question, though. I was on your website, and I'm on it right now. Where the heck is your webcam?
Oh, ready for this.
So, uh-oh.
The Old Farmer's Almanac was struck by lightning. Does that mean?
You cannot make this stuff up. Are you kidding?
No. I don't even remember if it was last week or the week before. And yeah, our webcams are waiting for a part. They need to be fixed.
Okay, but it's going to come back, right?
Yes, we're hoping. But well, you know what it's like trying to get parts these days.
I do know what it's like to try to get parts. Believe you me, I'm in my 60s. Yes.
Oh, are you trying to get parts like knees and hips?
Oh, no. Sarah, here's my question, though. How do I know that that's where you are? Because usually when we talk to somebody from the Old Farmer's Almanac, we like them to go to a window and wave to us.
Oh, well, my window doesn't face the parking lot, so you wouldn't be able to see me anyway. You can see my car, though.
Oh, I can? Well, that's one of my favorite things. Sarah, I'm hoping that you do get the parts that you need and you can move on. Gosh darn it all, that must have been frightening. Was it did it happen during the during working hours? Or
it happened just past when everybody had left. So there was a handful of people in the building, and the alarms were going off, and we didn't have phones for the whole next day. It was crazy.
Oh, my gosh. I bet it was crazy. Well, we're glad that everybody's okay and the rest of your building is okay, right?
Yes.
Ugh. So tell us about the 2022 Almanac. I have it in front of me, and I always like to turn to the page that gives a prediction for what the next winter's going to look like and the next summer. So I'm on page 96 of the 2022 Old Farmer's Almanac, and it looks like it's going to be cold and dry for Minnesota.
True.
Okay, so my question is, I sort of know what cold and dry mean. It's not going to be frigid cold. I mean, we're used to the cold. Is it going to be just normal cold?
Well, so where you are, the winter temperatures are expected to be below normal. So whatever you think cold is, that could just mean, you know, 5 degrees below that. So it doesn't necessarily mean frigid, but below what you're used to. And you can watch for the coldest periods throughout most of December, and then early and late January, and again in mid-February. And snowfall, as you can tell by the map, is going to be below normal in most of the region.
Yes, so that's my question. I see that it's going to be cold and dry, and then up, it looks like kind of the UP, it looks upper Michigan, it looks like it's going to be cold and wet. Does cold and wet mean more rainy?
There'll still be snow, but in that area, yeah, there's going to be more wet than white.
Is that because
they might have
of
snow, but then the rain's going to come and just ruin the beautiful snow.
Oh, is that because it's near so many of the Great Lakes?
It could be, but they usually get more snow than wet stuff. It could be, you know, there's a relatively, it's not a big, huge, active La Nina, but there's a small one in play, so that could have something to do with it.
Boy, I have not heard about La Ninas for a long time. Tell me about your area. Where exactly are you? You said you're on kind of the border, so are you going to be cold and snowy up in your area, or are you cold and dry?
We are also cold and dry, which I'm super happy about because I don't like snow. And I know I'm living in the wrong place for someone who doesn't like snow. But southern New England is going to be cold and snowy. So if, you know, the mood strikes me and I need to ski, I could just head south.
Absolutely. And then next summer, it's crazy that we're talking about it, but it looks like we're going to have in Minnesota kind of a cooler summer, which I think is going to be fine, and we're going to get some rain because we've been struggling with some drought, so I think that's good news for us.
Yeah, it's going to be slightly cooler, so again, what you would expect, but just a little bit colder than that. So, and then Yeah, above normal precipitation.
We love it. So tell us a little bit about the history of the Old Farmer's Almanac. I know that many of our listeners are familiar with your wonderful publication, but I just love hearing the history, and I can't get enough of it. So would you tell us all about it?
I'd be happy to. So our founder, Robert B. Thomas, he was a farmer. He was an amateur astronomer. And in 1792, he started tinkering away with different observations he was making in nature. He also knew a little bit about studying sunspots, and he put out his, it wasn't the Old Farmer's Almanac at the time, he put out his Farmer's Almanac in 1792, and his weather predictions were so spot on that the following year he had to triple his print order. So he had originally printed 3,000, and then the following year he printed 9,000 copies.
Amazing. And when you say that he was a part-time astronomer, I would assume back in 1792, that was something that was pretty rudimentary compared to the way that they can study the stars now, right?
Exactly right. And that's actually why that's only one part of the formula that he used to put together his forecast. So he was studying solar science, you know, what was going on the sun, but also climatology, which is just the study of prevailing weather patterns, and also meteorology. So that's the study of the atmosphere.
So how long have you been with the Old Farmer's Almanac?
I have been here for 18 years, so I'm sure you and I have spoken before.
You know what, Sarah, I'm pretty sure that we have spoken before. I know you probably do a ton of interviews, but it just is so fascinating to me that the original Farmer's Almanac really does continue, and it's such a great print media to have. What's the tie-in with Ben Franklin, please?
So we do have Ben Franklin's on our cover right across from our founder, Robert B. Thomas, because we consider him to be the father of almanacs. He's certainly not the first one, but he, you know, Poor Richard's Almanac is an almanac everyone's familiar with, so we're just paying homage to him.
And for you, what does the term almanac mean, please?
Well, it's a calendar of the heavens, so if you were going to open any almanac, no matter who's publishing it, you should find information about what's going on in the sky. You should find information about what's going on just, you know, any day of the year, and also just kind of a mishmash of other information that's going to be delightful, but also reference material.
You know what I love, too, is you give an overview of the whole country of what the weather predictions are, but then you also break it down not only by, you know, areas, specific areas, geographic areas, but also at times by cities. How do you do that today?
We do have a meteorologist. So I think a lot of people think we're studying woolly bears. And
you're not?
Throwing darts at a map. But no, we have a meteorologist, and I couldn't begin to tell you what he's doing. That's why he's the meteorologist. But he takes our formula and also state-of-the-art technology and crunches the numbers for us, and we do go over them every year so that we can find out how accurate we were.
And how accurate are you? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would be interested to know what your percentages are over the years.
Sure. So we have a traditional, because we're all about tradition, a traditional accuracy rate of about 80%, though for last year we were just slightly below that at 75%. So I think a lot of people assume we just say 80% because it sounds good, but no, we'll tell you, we were a little bit below 75% for last year's forecast.
What attributed to that?
I think just some unforeseen cold air that came in, and, you know, we didn't get, some places got much more snow. We told them they were going to get snow, but they got a lot more than we thought they were going to get. So it's kind of just not sure, bad luck last year.
Well, I think 75% is pretty darn good. That's better than a lot of what we get weekly. You know?
That's true. It's a passing grade.
Oh my gosh. I take it. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. So in your 18 years that you've been there, Sarah, how has the Old Farmer's Almanac evolved?
You'll notice that the cover of the almanac looks the same, but the pages are different every year. Since I started, the book is a little bit bigger now. We have a little bit more up front in the color section because we always had color pages in the front, but we have more now than we did when I started. We have a lot more products. One of my favorites is the Old Farmer's Almanac for Kids, which just came out at the end of last month. It's volume 9. So that's something that's been born since I was here, and I love it. It's my favorite. We have a lot of calendars that weren't here when I started. It's just, you know, we're getting bigger and we love it.
Tell me about the Old Farm Renax kids version. What do you love so much about it?
It's so colorful, and I love any book that doesn't have advertisements in it, honestly. But I mean, it's some of the same information. So we've got articles about farming, about gardening, about nature, about food, but then we also get to do, you know, like the weird, funky history type of things. And it's written in a way that you can understand, and, you know, there's lots of fun facts to pick out. It's just beautiful and fun, and kids love it, and the parents love it, and grandparents love it. So I hope everybody checks it out. This year, the cover has a great big tiger on it.
Oh, cute. You mentioned the woolly caterpillar. That is the way that I always predict what I think the winter's going to be like. Will you tell people how they can find a woolly caterpillar? And it has to be a certain kind, right?
It does. It's the one that's black and brown. I always forget what's supposed to be what.
If it's brown.
If the band is brown, I think that means warmer. But if there's more black, that means colder.
It does. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, see, I got it right.
Yes. No, you did get it right. So if, in fact, we do find a woolly caterpillar, it's the ring around it. If the brown ring is bigger, that means it's going to be a little bit milder winter. And if it's black, it's going to be cold. I wonder if they change from area to area. They must, right?
They must, depending on, yeah, the environment that they're living in. I see a lot of them when I'm out taking a walk, and, you know, they're kind of all over the place, so I don't know how you would predict the weather by saying, well, that one's all black, but that one's got a pretty long brown band, but that one over there has got a skinny brown band. You
know? Well, I have
I'm not sure how you do that. It must be in numbers.
I bet it is in numbers, yes. I bet it's beautiful right now. I wish I could see you on your webcam, but is New England, do the leaves change a little bit before they do here in Minnesota?
We started changing, I think, a little bit earlier than normal. We won't be at peak for probably another week or two.
Okay.
But yeah, things are changing, and it's absolutely beautiful, especially when we have a day, not like today. Today's pretty cloudy, but when we have those bright blue sky days and the colors up against the sky, they're just gorgeous.
I love it. So let's get back to the Old Farmer's Almanac, the book itself. One of my favorite parts, and I'm so into tradition, the fact that you still have the perforated hole on the top left corner. Can you explain to our uneducated listeners why that is?
Sure, that's another way you're going to know you've got the right almanac, is because there is a hole in the corner. And people used to use that hole to hang it in their outhouse, or maybe in the garden shed or the barn or somewhere. People still do use that hole to hang it up in places, but that was the original intended use. But back in the 90s, we did a survey asking our readers, you know, would you mind if we stopped punching this hole in it? You know, we don't think you're putting them in your outhouses anymore. You know, it cost us a little bit of money to do it, so do you mind? And it was unanimous that everybody said, no, you can't not put the hole in the cover. So okay, message received. There will always be a hole in that cover.
Oh, I love it. So you're not going to do another poll in another couple years?
No, we learned from that one.
Sarah, you obviously have been in this industry for a long time. How do you continue to be relevant and stay current and compete with, you know, there's so much social media, things like that. I think radio is something that people are always going to gravitate towards, even though there might be other ways to get news or other ways to get entertainment. But just like radio, the Old Farmer's Almanac really is a tried and true product. What do you attribute that to?
I think a lot of it is nostalgia, like you saw it in your house growing up or in your grandparents' house.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're also a trusted resource if you're looking for good information that's family friendly for everybody. And, you know, we do expand. We know people are online all the time, so we've got our own Instagram, and we've got our own Facebook page and things like that. So we're trying to engage everybody. Maybe not everybody has the book, but we can engage with you just the same.
Absolutely. And I must say, every year I'm just fascinated by not only the number of articles that are in the publication, but just the diversity. I'm just looking, you know, there's different things about astrology and astronomy. There's a whole calendar section. There's a folklore section. You always have great recipes. And then gardening, I know, takes up a big piece of your book as well, telling people about gardening. There's a history section, there's a miscellaneous section, there's a whole nature section, and then of course your wonderful weather maps and the different forecasts. How do you go about putting a book together? How do you know what is going to appeal to people?
Well, we sit down once or twice a year and start talking about things that either we've been thinking about or somebody has asked us about, and then we think, oh, that's a great idea. And we talk to each other. We have a pretty small group of about 7 of us. And we talk to each other and we say, okay, is this interesting or is that old news? And we're always trying to fill certain categories. As you said, you know, we're always going to have information about gardening, and we want to have something about the weather other than just the forecasts, and folklore and food, and those things are always interesting. And some years you'll find an article about pets, or some year you'll find an article about romance. It changes from year to year, but we stick to some core areas. And yeah, we're always just trying to think, what would somebody want to read about, and what do I want to read about?
Well, you certainly hit the mark year after year, and I'm sure that's not easy to do. But as you said, I see an article about pets right now. They just never go out of style, do they?
No, absolutely not.
So what else would you like to tell our listeners, please?
I would love to tell everybody, if you wanted to learn anything more about the Old Farmer's Almanac, you could always visit our website, which is almanac.com. And you're going to get lost in it. You're going to find so much information, you know, put aside an hour, because you're going to want to make all the recipes. You're going to want to read all the gardening tips. And you can always find your day-to-day weather, like you would find, you know, in your local newspaper, but also a forecast for 2 months in advance.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Sarah, always a joy to chat with you. Thank you so much for taking the time and calling in. And I hope that you get your webcam fixed soon. I'll be checking your website to see when you're up and running, and I'll wave to you. How's that?
You and me both. I check it too.
Oh, excellent. Sarah Peralt, she's the senior editor with the Old Farmer's Almanac, and the 2022 version is out. We actually have some also at KDWA. It's a wonderful publication. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings. It might seem crazy.